As we go through these Gospels, which are preparing us for Pentecost, we're given very profound revelation. Our Lord is telling us that even in this life, there are ways that we can come to understand and see the Trinity. That's marvelous. Jesus begins, "If you know me, then you will also know my Father." Now, what kind of knowledge could that be? See, if we just place ourselves back there in the upper room, you could see Jesus talking to them, but no, you see, this is Jesus talking to us this morning. As the Vatican Council tells us, you see, when the gospel is read, it is still Christ proclaiming his gospel. So Jesus just said these words to us. And what do they mean? From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Now, we could look into our own lives. Is that true? In the faith that I have, in the life that I try to live, have I seen Jesus? And because of that, am I aware that I know the Father? What does this mean? Do you see how it's an enticement? The Lord is saying, I promise you that if you will obey me day by day, you will see me and you will see the Father. And then we have to say, what could that possibly mean? Philip has the same kind of a question. And so he says to Jesus something very similar to what Moses said to Adonai on Mount Sinai. Show us the Father. Let me see your glory, Moses said. He said, show us the Father. And that will be enough for us. And that's true. But Jesus says, Philip, have I been with you so long a time, and you still do not know me? Now, we should meditate on that. You know, we've been baptized since we were infants. We've been trying to live a pretty committed Christian life for quite a while. How does this fit? Have I been with you? Have I fed you in my body and blood day by day? Have I given you my word day by day? And you still don't know me? And you say, gosh, you know, I better start thinking about that. In other words, as is so often in the Gospels, it's Jesus inviting us to intimacy. You know, we have to say to ourselves, boy, if I hadn't heard these words this morning, I would never be thinking like this. I wouldn't be yearning to know Jesus, you know, and to know that in knowing him, I know the Father, and to know that I know that. That's what I'm made for, right? And if we hadn't walked into this chapel and heard these words, this wouldn't be a big preoccupation for most of us, which is kind of embarrassing, isn't it? I mean, isn't this what life is all about? I can remember when I was 19. I just entered the monastery, and the novice master gave me a book to read by John of the Cross called The Living Flame of Love. Well, I can tell you, he was a pretty perceptive fellow. He didn't think, you know, that we mystics should hang around together. You know, he just wanted me to read this book. I read it. It captivated me. Ah. But what I understood, you see, was what life is all about. There is no way I could relate to what this man was talking about by way of experience, by way of insight, by way of... There was no way. But I knew that he was right. I knew that that's why I was created, to know God, to love God, to rejoice in God. to suffer with Jesus and help redeem the world and then go see him. I knew it. And that's what life is all about. And it's helped me. I've been distracted plenty, but it's helped me not get too distracted. You know, because that's the fact. Oh, then we shouldn't pay attention. Well, of course we should pay attention. My Lord, you know, to married life, to going to the grocery store, to evangelizing in the grocery store. You know, that's, of course we should do that. But you see, Philip, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? You see how we ought to take these words and say, you know, what do they really mean to me? Have I seen Jesus? In fact, the best way is to go and say, Jesus, have I seen you? What is it that I'm missing? Maybe it's my imagination. I seeing Jesus means this, I don't know, Jesus on a cloud coming. What does it mean? See, it's an invitation, and it's so precious as we're getting ready for Pentecost, because none of this happens without the action of the Holy Spirit, right? It says in 1 John 5, this is the one who came in water and blood and so forth. The one who came is Jesus. And the Spirit came, past tense, right? He came. Present tense. And the Spirit is the one bearing witness. Now, he makes all this real for us. So we can leave this gospel and say, oh man, I better start talking to the Holy Spirit. I better start begging him and saying, you know, you've got to open this up for me. Have I seen Jesus or not? And the answer is, yes, you've seen him. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. You know, that's faith. Would you like to see him some more? Oh, yeah, okay. Trade the next sin in right now. Anger, resentment, division, sensuality, whatever. And you'll take another step. What holds us back is our sin. And there comes a certain point in life when all our efforts to get rid of sin are kind of puny. In the first place, we like it. And so we're not that ready to get rid of it. But we're trying. You know, we're being respectable about it anyway. And then the Holy Spirit comes. And we die to sin. It hurts. And if there weren't that desire, that we'd never do it. You know, we'd say, look, I'll go to Mass on Sunday. I'll put my $5 in a collection, you know, but that's about as far as I'm going to go. And we would putz around in shallow water, die and go to purgatory and get finished off and go see God, which would be great. But how much less than what he's holding out to us this morning when we hear this gospel text? None of us is the same anymore. We heard Jesus Christ tell us this morning. And you can't walk away and say, well, I never heard that. You did so. Don't you believe that I am in the Father? And the Father is in me? Now do you get it? If you see me, the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Don't you get it? No. Okay, stick around. I'll show it to you. The words that I speak, I do not speak on my own. And now listen to this line. The Father who dwells in me is doing his words? No, his works. The Almighty Father himself is working in me, in my body. Do you see it? Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else because of the works themselves. I don't know what Pope Benedict said at the UN. I mean, generally I heard it, but I didn't see it. You know, but isn't that the body of Christ proclaiming to the world? Do you see it? And so, and then he says, and then it's the end for today, you know, but we've got to move on. I tell you, whoever who doesn't see, say, St. Francis and Padre Pio, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do and will do greater ones than these because I go to the Father. And when I go to the Father and my humanity is totally transformed, then I will pour out the Holy Spirit. Because the works that I do, the Father is doing in me. Now, the Father will continue to do those works in me when I go and sit on the throne next to him and my humanity is divinized. And as the works now on this earth, you know, by the Jesus, reveal the Father and his plan, how much more then when he's divinized and in heaven these works reveal the completed plan. And that's why the works are greater. They're not more spectacular. I haven't moved more mountains than Jesus or raised more dead than Jesus. I mean, it's... But any little thing I do reveals the wonder of the Father in Jesus. Now, we don't spell that out every time because we're pretty stupid most of the time, I guess. But that's what's really going on. Isn't it nice to know that? This is what's really going on. Tomorrow, we'll pray over somebody and they'll get healed. And that is the Father revealing himself through Jesus in his body right now. And we see now the total transformation. That's what's going on. So what do we do? We cling to the hem of the robe of this lovely text. You know, hang on to it for dear life. You know, one of these days, like when you water ski, you know, one of these days I might get it. But darn it, it's true right now.